and celebrate Christmas and New Year's with you. Africa gives their greetings in Uganda. And it's a hard thing for me because I love being home with family and friends and church. But then I'm also torn because part of me is still back in Africa. And so it's a bit of a torn part of me, but I'm glad that my husband's going to be coming with me the next time to Africa to enjoy the wonders that I see. So could we bow our heads in prayer? Father, I just thank you for this opportunity to share your word, to be a part of this church, and Lord, to be safe in your arms. We thank you for the wonder and your love. This is a time of celebration of who you are and your birth. Lord, I ask that you would speak into our hearts the message you placed in my heart, that lives will be touched, that Holy Spirit, you will speak, and you will give us divine insight to be your messengers. In Jesus' name, amen. Born for a Miracle Mission. It's the title of my message. It's a title of everything that has been going on in my own heart as I was listening to the Christmas carols. Just so you guys know, for those of you who are maybe unprepared for Christmas after Christmas, just so you know, in my house, Christmas starts November, early November, first week of November. Everything comes out in the first week of November. All of the CDs come out the first week of November, and every waking moment we hear every Christmas carol from all generations from then till now, and we're still listening even this morning. My husband loves Christmas, so you got a window of his heart and a window of his love. And my message is about the celebration of the birth of Jesus. As we Christians, we marvel at the miracle mission of the Messiah. I'd like to share with you something that God has spoken into my heart. If you want to turn to Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1-8. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled with the temple. Above him were seraphs, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, and with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And all they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is filled with his glory." At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and the threshold shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. "Woe to me," I cried. "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Then one of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs of the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin atoned for." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" If you look at this moment in history of Israel, it's in the days of Israel where Isaiah had the moment or opportunity to eavesdrop in the heavens on the future of the nation. He was invited to watch for a moment what the present history was going to unfold, and that he would be impacted with the world forever. And you can see that the hand of God was upon him. In the days of Israel, just like another day, there was rumors of war all around. And Israel would have assumed that through their power and their military strength and their capability that they were going to conquer those who were going to come to try to topple them. And they would have been making their strategies to defeat the enemy, and they would have been making all these strong promises and reviewing all the facts and making all of their plans for success. And at that moment, Isaiah, as in the lofty throne of God, watching the miracle of the Lord, as he is sitting there in his glory with all of those who are around him, singing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." The glorious singing shook the temple. It was so powerful. What a scene. The heavenly courts, filled with the Lord's robe, filled with smoke, filled with cries of angels, filled with all that was wondrous in the presence of the Lord. It was just another day in heaven. Now for us, we say it was a glorious day in heaven, but for heaven, it was just a normal day. And it makes you begin to think, wow, this was a normal day, a witness on earth of Isaiah watching God at work. He's not sitting back, God, for centuries, waiting for the moment of the return. He is busy on the throne every day. He is dispatching his miracle missions every day. As we watch in normal life, face to face, Isaiah had a chance to see that moment. And it makes you wonder in our lives the miracle missions that God has prepared for us. We have the opportunity to go to the throne of God and to see his glory through the Holy Spirit. Isaiah saw it physically, but we see it spiritually in a way that is new and fresh. And the two questions, as you think of that moment with Isaiah there, is, whom should I send as a messenger to my people? Which is a New Living Translation. Whom shall I send? Who will go for us? What is interesting is Isaiah says immediately, "Here I am, send me." He is so intensely consumed with the glory of God that he forgets, he doesn't even know where he's going. He doesn't say, what is the mission? What am I called to do? What is it going to cost me? What am I going to have to leave? What am I going to have to do if I do this? All he sees is such the presence and the power and the glory of God. He says, here I am. Send me. It is a heart of commitment that we can see through Isaiah was so earnest, because God asked two questions. Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? They're not the same questions. They're two different questions. Not all of us who are sent will choose to go. It's a frightening thought. Not all who are sent will choose to go. Isaiah said, here I am, send me. And I believe God is looking for men and women who want to do heaven's work so much that when the Lord says, whom shall I send? We will say, here I am, send me. When I began to think through this message of the miracle missions, I began to say, why me, Uganda, and say, Pastor Sion, Clinton? Why is it that he would do something so unique? I believe the Lord matches the miracles to who we are. When we were asked to be sent by God, He matches us with people he feels that we can be of help. People that he knows that we have something that he's given us that they need. For me, it was Yeshua Quagga Bible College. They needed a director with a certain education to hold the strength of the college until it gets on its feet. For me, that was the mission, the miracle mission he sent me for. For you, it may be something different. But at some point in our lives, we are asked to do something that even in our miracle mission, for me, it was for a Bible college to assist students who were, there's approximately 56 to 60 students, to be part of their lives, to train them up and to train up the institution and teachers, and also to develop systems for the organization that I felt was the fingerprint of God for my life. But yet, when there comes to be a miracle mission, you never know where God will turn and twist. He calls us to be the delivery people. And we never know what that delivery will look like. For those of us who have received a parcel, we really don't care who the postman is. Amen? We care what's in that parcel. We never ask the postman, what's your name? Where were you born? What did you do in life? What gave you the right to deliver this parcel? We are just interested in the parcel. And I look to God and I say, you know, I am the delivery man or delivery woman for the gift of your life. He has what's in that envelope. And in that, you begin to see that there can be a miracle collision. A miracle collision where we can see for our best intentions that we think we understand what's in that envelope. And we begin to operate like it is that which we think is in there or in that box. And for me, I thought it was just the Bible college. That was my miracle mission. But God had a collision for me that was completely unexpected, and I had no idea was about to come into my life. And my expectations and assumptions barely and never, rarely match God's. And so I can say positively, 100%, there was a collision in my miracle mission. We had a faculty meeting, and we thought that we had it all solved. All of it solved. But it wasn't solved. Sorry, I don't have my clicker, so Dagmar, this is... You're wondering what I'm doing. So, the students, they thought they had it all resolved as well. They thought that they understood what their calling was for that season, which was to study. But God had another plan. I was asked to go to a place called it's actually supposed to be called a children's rehabilitation center. But really what it is a children's prison. So children from the ages of 1 to 16. Now I had went there, truthfully, as a tourist, because somebody had told me about it. And I thought, well, maybe there's a children's baby home, part of the organization of where I'm working with. Maybe there can be a connection. So as we went to this area and talked with those who were involved with this children's prison, something happened in my life that I couldn't turn away. These kids, ages 1 to 16, are children who live on the streets, who were beggars. This little one her mom or her dad or somebody who had her in their arms dropped her on the street, ran because the police were coming, and left her for the prison. This facility has 16 staff that take care of 300 children. It was a moment in my life where I felt in my heart as I watched them as a little child held onto my hand from the time I got there to the time I left. And the Lord spoke into my heart and he said, now these are your children. Look after them. It was an amazing challenge for us. It was a miracle collision that I had no idea was going to happen. And yet when I saw that, it was like I couldn't leave them, knowing that they had so little. And many of them were forced into this situation without doing something for them. And so we designed a ministry for the children. And all of a sudden, our agenda of what I thought I was going to be focused on changed. And there was a collision without warning of what God wanted to do. And it was one of these situations that happened. When you look into the eyes of some of these youth, many of them are forced out of their home. Many of them are going to be mobbed because the community, they've committed a crime in the community. There is no law in Uganda in that way. The community is the law, and if you've committed a crime, you are punished by the community, and sometimes it's beating, sometimes it's death. And they were grabbed and put into this rehabilitation. It speaks into our lives of when we have a chance to have a collision with God. Even in our miracle mission, you would never dream, I would have never dreamed in 1,000 years that I would be having a ministry with children in a prison who are nothing except those who have been forced out for whatever reason. I was told sometimes dad leaves mom, marries another woman. She doesn't like the kids in the house because if they're in the house, they get the land. So then she makes it very, very, very uncomfortable and they run. There's miracle collisions that you see in your life if you'll just open your eyes. Could have I walked away? Absolutely. Did I want to walk away? Absolutely. And yet the Lord spoke into my heart, these are the children I've called you to minister. And so we've set up a ministry to have go twice a month. That's what we have available for us to do. And here's the thing is, when I went there, they expected, because I'm a white-skinned Mzungu, to be able to give them lots of different resources and funds and money and all this thing. And I said to them, you know, all we have to give is love and Jesus. Is that enough? And I didn't think they were going to let us in the door, but they said, yeah, that's enough. And so God has opened an amazing miracle collision where we are able to make a difference in the lives and hearts of these children. And God willing, they will come, many of them, to Christ, not because we're forcing them or because we push them or because, but because they see something of Christ in us and we share his love through many different ways to bring life to them. Isaiah was a prophet living in a normal life in Jerusalem with a wife and family. And in the midst of all of that, he sees the wonders of God and he's taken to his throne of God where he sees the miracle of God at work. And in the middle of all of that, as Isaiah surrenders his life and says, here I am, send me, God speaks the most horrid moment of Israel's history that there would be devastation, and that Isaiah is to name his son swift to plunder and quick to spoil. Before he could say Papa or Mama, Israel would be in doom. However, in the darkest hour is when the Messiah is proclaimed. In the darkest hour is when the Messiah is proclaimed. It is for us to understand that even in the darkest hour of our lives is when the miracle mission could be proclaimed. For us, some of us wait for God to speak into our lives and say, okay, everything is good now. Now you can go. It was Isaiah at his moment in Israel's history of their darkest hour. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. This was the moment of Israel's history when God proclaimed it would happen. And he did it in Isaiah's moment of pain, Israel's moment of pain. He proclaimed the moment of miracles. I don't know what is up in store for Uganda. I was told right now, because of the president and his age, that they are developing a military rule. I was even told where they're building the barracks and they're beginning to design a system to take over. In our lives, many of us have gone through very dark hours of our lives. I'm not saying, and I'm not minimizing the pain that you've gone through or the darkness you've seen or the devastation that has been a part of who you are. But may I challenge you, it was in this moment that the miracle was proclaimed. And in your life, do not think because you are going through a dark hour that God could not reach you and say, today, you are on a miracle mission. Today. And all he asks of us is, here I am, send me. When we surrender our perspective, our wisdom, our experience, his miracle agenda for us could be given at any moment, in any time of our history. We need to leave room for God to speak into our life. Because I don't want to be one who misses that miracle mission or that collision in a moment in life. In Luke chapter 17, ten lepers. This is a moment where miracles break the boundaries. Ten lepers are crying out to Christ. And Jesus is on his way between Samaria and Galilee. And on verse 12, he is going into a village. 10 men who have leprosy meet him. They stood at a distance and call out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. When he saw them, he said, go show yourself to the priests. And they went and they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back. One of them praised him. God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was not one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? Then he said to him, rise and go. Your faith has made you well. When we think of miracles and being on a miracle mission, there are personal boundaries. within these 10 lepers, there was only one foreigner, only one. And the other were supposedly understanding of the things of God. 9, after being cleansed, ran. 1, a foreigner, came back to praise. There are boundaries and roles in our lives. There are roads in Uganda that you would never ever want to ever drive. And I'm telling you, personal boundaries are stretched. Beyond words, they're stretched. As I would say, as I was driving down the road, sometimes it was better to look straight, hold the wheel, and shut your eyes. Serious, I did. And my friend Rita would say, "What are you doing? I'm shutting my eyes in case I twist off. I'll just keep going straight." Personal boundaries get stretched. We have many different boundaries and borders in our own world of disbelief, of prejudice. Sometimes we resent what we understand. We're superior to others is very typical, especially when you're in a foreign country. You somehow think your way must be the best. And what's the matter with you? Why don't you get it? And your boundaries are stretched, but let me encourage you, in the midst of your personal boundaries, when they are stretched, is when God can do the greatest miracle in your life. In the gospel, Samaritans were despised foreigners who were those who were tended to have the greatest scandal when anyone of a Jewish background had anything to do with. And they were confused mostly when Jesus spoke to them. But it was the Samaritan out of the 10 who came back to give God praise. And it was the one and only one who Jesus said, "Your faith has made you whole." The others had physical healing, and they had religious understanding that they were going to go to the religious rulers and they were going to get their bill of health cleared. "I'm clean." That's all they cared. But one had a heart to come back and praise God. One was the only one who had more than a physical healing. His faith had made him whole. She's just all confused. I should have my own clicker. When we think in our internal hearts of being a disciple of Christ, yes, leaving family is important. Yes, leaving, sometimes if God calls you to leave your career, it's important. But the internal heart matters. The drawing out of the heart of a thankful and sacrificial love for Christ matters. It wasn't that anybody out of those 10 lepers did anything different, except the one came back to praise. It's the heart. It was the heart for me. It was for me. I was not one who was filled with praise and thanksgiving to God to go to Uganda. I wish I could say, you know, oh, I was one of those ones who was called to be a missionary and I was just waiting for that moment. I was not. I was saying, "Lord, could we just have a lunch break here and think about this?" And it was not part of our plan, but yet when God called me there and he placed it on both Alan and my heart, he said, "Uganda must become your family." And it was time for us to stop complaining and start praising. Because it was only at that moment in our own hearts when God could change our lives and be ready for the miracle mission was when we were able to give and receive what the mission that God had called us to, is when we were willing to stop and praise Him. And our faith had made us whole, able to go to the mission. There is an extra healing for that tenth leper. When Jesus said he likely meant God's work within that man's heart. There's no other reason. The others were healed physically. But their heart was sick. But only one came and was whole. When you are feeling like the miracle mission is too much, when you are feeling like you have too much on your plate and there's too much going on in your world, when you feel like you cannot manage another collision of a miracle mission from God, if you will praise Him, He will give you faith to make you whole. Holy Spirit plays as God's miracle mission delivery agent. I learned that in an amazing way through my course. I wasn't expecting to do anything spectacular except teach. And I love teaching, so that was a good thing. One of my students, who's a pastor, came to me in this collision of another collision of a miracle, and he said to me, "I don't know if I'm going to carry on. I've had enough of ministry." He said, "I had a congregation, an associate pastor, who up and left, and now the congregation questions my leadership as to why he left and what I did to cause him to leave." He said to me, "I have, in the midst of that, I had half my congregation leave. My wife is sick. The person who was to assist us at home, to pay for our, to assist us in caring for the kids, the only requirement is we would pay her school fees. So we paid her school fees and she left. Now I have a sick wife, half a congregation, no support or help. I've had enough." And he said to me, "Would you come and be a consultant for our church?" And I thought to myself, you know, like, I'm a Canadian. What would I know about church ministry in Uganda? So as I talked to him, he was very, very committed to me coming. I said, "Okay, on one condition." And he said, "What's the condition?" I said, "Let's have all of the class," because we were in church administration and management, "come and be your consultants." And he looked at me, and then he said, "Okay, let's do it." My fear, once he said that, was, "Oh my goodness, what if we just bomb? You know, how do I know they really have learned what they need to know to assist this man?" So we went to Boise, and we began our mission. I believe God had called us on a miracle mission for this particular man. And in spite of the risk and the discomfort and the fear, I was prepared to walk through that to help this young man stay in ministry. And so when we went as a team, we did it. First of all, I gave them a sheet and we did an analysis as we were walking through the church service. And nobody knew what we were doing except us and him. And then I said to him, "It's not enough for us to come and be analysis." We sent them off in to do evangelism. And one team, as they were walking down the road to do evangelism, door-to-door evangelism, they met this one lady who was of Muslim faith walking down, and they stopped. One of the students stopped and he said, "Do you know about Jesus?" And she said, "You know, I've been waiting for somebody to come and tell me." And at that moment, they shared Christ, and she came to Christ. At that moment, others were beginning to become more committed to come to the church. And after 6 hours of analysis of his church, after we finished, this young man had more ideas of what to try than he had ever had in his life. And the Spirit of God had come upon that whole group of students in such a way that they were sharper and smarter than myself in many, many ways and had a master's level understanding of how to help him in a way that I could have never done on my own as a Canadian, because I didn't understand the culture, I didn't understand the church dynamics, but the students understood, and they were able to give this young man an amazing opportunity to bring life back into his church. And he stayed in the courses, and he had a smile from ear to ear, completely transformed his ministry, and a Muslim lady in his church because of a miracle mission. What did I learn? And what do we need to learn together is we need to consciously enter the throne of heaven. In my mind, sometimes we think God is so far away and he's not doing a whole lot. But he's busy at work, waiting for us to be ready to do a miracle mission. Ready for us to go forward. Ready for us to be willing to do the collision. Ready for us to take the risks. Ready for us to break the personal boundaries and open our hearts and be ready to walk and work with him. We need to commit as Isaiah, "Here I am, send me." Not tomorrow, not a year from tomorrow, and not when after everything gets finished, but today. "Here I am, send me." And we need to commit to the act when we're nudged. I have a pledge to God. I pledge to him in prayer that whoever came knocking on our door, that would be my job. We prayed for that. Heaven forbid that I prayed it, but I prayed it. And God honored it, for heaven's sakes. And the job came to the door. If we commit to the act when we're nudged, the gates of heaven are waiting for us to take his mission. We need to put our faith in God to deliver his miracle through you. Because like me, you'll fight fear. You'll have excuses. You'll have all sorts of reasons why not to. But exercise your faith. I trust you to deliver the miracle through me. And he will. He really will. Remind yourself, "Lord, send me today." 300 children are being impacted by the gospel of Christ because I was willing to take a collision miracle. Students were able to impact the church because we're willing to take a mission miracle. Church, we're nothing special. We're all, God is waiting for us to enter his throne and watch him work and take that miracle mission. It's a new year. It's a new day. It's a new opportunity. Could we stand and commit to that together? To take that miracle mission together? Father, we come with our hearts open to you. Lord, we come feeling inadequate, feeling like there's maybe many things in our lives that would say, "I don't know, that's a lot to do. It's a big task, and I don't think I'm ready." But Lord, you never asked Isaiah if he was ready. You just said, "Whom shall we send? Who will go for us? Whom shall we send?" And he said, "Here I am. send me. And Lord, we together, agree together, that today we commit our hearts and our lives and we say, here we are, Lord. Send me, send the miracle mission to my life. Open my heart that I may see where you are sending me. Give me a heart to see as Isaiah saw, that I may understand your ways and your will. And may the power of the Holy Spirit do what is necessary to make that mission successful. By the power of Christ, we stand on faith for this. Today, we commit our lives to you for that miracle mission. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for that awesome message. Can you just remain seated for just a quick second? I don't normally do this simply because I don't like taking away from someone's message after they've preached, but I feel that it's appropriate to have a testimony in light of what Catherine shared. Catherine, there's a couple of things I want to say to you before. I don't know if you really heard what you said, but God will take you from here, Canada, to Uganda, and give you a bunch of children that he asked you to be your own. I don't know if you really heard it.
Yes, I did.
Did you hear that?
I did.
Okay. So I heard a lot of things in there, but I'm glad that God is going to use you in this way. Catherine and the rest of the congregation, Pastor Paul, pastor from Nigeria, is fellowship with us. He's just been back to Nigeria for a short time, but ended up spending a little bit longer time. I think he's got a testimony that will, I think, I don't know what the right word, because nothing else needs to be said to Catherine's message, but seeing that it's on Africa and so forth, I think it might be appropriate. Would you come and just share that testimony with us, just to confirm? If you don't know, this is Paul Essien. Mobum, and he's a pastor. We're doing some work together. You'll hear more about that later on, but just come back from Nigeria. Did you bring my outfit for me?
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Somebody wave your hand and say, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
I'm glad this afternoon to be here. My testimonies are so many, so many. Let me just one. This 31st of December, I will be 50. 50. And by right, if it is in Nigeria, I would have loved to celebrate it in a very big way. To tell Jesus, thank you for my life. I started as a very small young boy to serve him many years ago. And I became a pastor at 17. And by his grace, he kept me and preserved me. And I want to say that this God is awesome.
Amen.
And I love him. And I use this day to sit in the church to make a commitment and a declaration and a vow that I will save him forever. Mm-hmm. Nothing on earth that will stop me from saving this God. Because this God is so good to me and my family. And I turn around, I see my pretty wife and my fine children that God gave me. I thank God for them. I cannot buy them in the market. It's not possible. And many people are looking for opportunity to have a wife, to have children. It's not possible. And I cherish my wife and I value my children. And I thank God for them. Since I decided to follow him, he has never disappointed me. He has not failed me one day. Sometimes I will fail him. Sometimes I will disappoint him. But God has never one day disappointed me. He has never one day failed me. This God is awesome.
Yeah.
In a day that this when the mission was sharing something, and she told us about the 10 lepers. That those 9 lepers, they went away, could not go back to appreciate. There are some people that are ignorant. They don't know how to appreciate God. Me, when I wake up every day of my life, I tell Jesus, thank you. Sometimes I will lie down on the floor. Who am I? Sometimes I will kneel down. Sometimes it's like I should jump up. If he doesn't give me the 2 legs, I cannot walk. If he does not give me the 2 hands, I cannot lift up. So if God only has given me the two hands, what stopped me from raising up my hand and say, great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, your mercy I see. All that I needed, your hands have provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto thee. I really thank God for his faithfulness. I went to Nigeria by the grace of God on September, and because I have a burden for souls. That's my calling into the ministry for souls. And I remember that I need to go for a crusade. I need to go for revival meetings and all that. And I came with some cassettes, some CD. God in his infinite mercy used us in a marvelous, pronounced way. And we came back. I came back with a better result. And that is why, by his grace, January I'm going back. Because anytime I handle mic, I'm excited. Take everything from me, but give me the microphone to tell people about Jesus. I can handle it from morning till evening. That's my life. I'm serious. I told my wife, I'm giving a report to my wife and my family, that on Sundays in Nigeria, I will preach in three churches. I finish the church, I go to another church, I move to another church. And that was the greatest moment of my life. I was so fulfilled, because that was what God called me to do in this world. And if I don't do that, I'm not satisfied. Dear people of the Lord, I want us to see that this is the last Sunday of the month of the year 2014. So many people were opportunity to see the first Sunday of this year. But some are not opportunity to see the last Sunday. But even my life to see the last Sunday, I want to say to Jesus, thank you. I want to say to my Father, thank you for keeping me alive to see the last Sunday of this year 2014. I trust the Lord to all of us, that all of us that see this last Sunday of this year, we shall see the last Sunday of 2015. By his grace and by his mercy. I thank God for what God has done in my life, my family, and I want to thank God for you guys, the church, Pastor Sion in particular, used to call my family to know what is going on. Church is a family. Yes. When I come to a church like this, I feel good. Because we are one. Bible says we call us from different race, different nation, different tribe, and then we come together and we form a church. Amen. And a church is a family. And that is why I'm so comfortable to be here today and then to be in your midst. Yes. And in a church, nobody wants to know how much you know until he knows how much you care. When I see the kind of love that you people demonstrated to my family when I traveled to Nigeria, I cannot sit down. I have to appreciate the church and say thank you. If not any other thing, that call is very important to know what is going on. And when they came here, you give them attention. That is wonderful. Nobody wants to know how much you know until he knows how much you care. Church, thank you very much for giving me the opportunity. And I thank my Jesus. And I say to Jesus, thank you, thank you, thank you. You are the Lord of my life. You are the Lord of my family. You are the Lord in Canada. You are the Lord in the whole world. And forever you will be the Lord of Lords. Amen. And the song says, come, let us adore him. And I like that song so much. I sing it in my dream. Even last time, oh God, let us do what? Adore him. Christ is the Lord. Thank you very much. And God bless you.
We're going to bring our service to a close. Pastor wanted to thank us. Before he left, he said, all I want from you as a church family is to just call my wife and kids and make sure they're okay. And so we try to do that. After the service is dismissed, we're setting it in place right here in the sanctuary. We have about 8 to 10 people. But we're setting in place a follow-up and a retention team. One of the areas that we're struggling with is that we don't have a system in place to connect with people and make sure that once they come, they continue coming, and we don't want people falling through the cracks and these sort of things. So if you've never received this invite before and you've got a gift and a desire to be a part of a team that will encourage others, especially when they're not in church or visit and so forth, feel free to just join us right over here. We'll be meeting briefly. And just to put this in place as we can handle some things that we need to take care of in the church. Thank you, Paul. We're looking forward to working with you. Thank you, Catherine, for the wonderful message that you shared, how God's been using you on your miracle collision course and what he's bringing into your life. And I hope that all of you have an experience like that. That's what we need. God needs to do something different in our lives. If we keep doing the same things over and over again and get the same results, I call it insanity. So if you want to see something different, you got to do. If you want something that you've never had, you're going to have to do something that you've never done. Amen? There may be some needs in our church today that we can pray for. We never underestimate the needs for prayer. And if our Ultimate Ministry team members are here, Mr. Gordon, if you don't mind going on the piano for us, we want to give you an opportunity to pray for you and to meet your needs. And if there's any needs, let's cover them. And we did this morning, but there may be some things that we don't know. And let's cover those needs as well and give God an opportunity to do a great work. While they are praying and getting ready, I want you to know that on the 18th of this month, January, we're planning to release publicly Ross Duncalf as our missions coordinator. More information will be following that, seeing that we're in the topic of missions. And so Ross, be getting that up for us. Are there any needs this morning in our church body that we can take to God in prayer? Church will open. Let us pray if you have any needs. Is there anything that we can take to God in prayer for today? We want to cover all of the needs. Okay. What are the needs today? God answers prayers. God instituted prayer so that we can petition the throne room of heaven. Would you give him an opportunity? Whatever your needs may be. Bless your name. Bless your name. Bless your name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise your name, Jesus. Hallelujah. Pastor Dan, would you come for a minute, if you don't mind? Would you come?